the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Well, you don't need a preacher this morning because I think those stories speak for themselves, and it's been a long service anyway. But there do remain two things to do, I think, before we finish. One is just to hook it all into Scripture because we haven't read from the Bible yet. And the second thing is to say, well, where does this take us? So we're going to invite you to join in something with us just before we finish. We will finish a little over time, but I hope you'll think it's worth it. Won't be too long, promise. Let's read then from just a few verses from page 1113, that's Philippians chapter 1. And this is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote when he was in prison and he wasn't sure whether he was going to live or die. And he's fairly convinced he's going to live, but in the middle of verse 18, this is Philippians chapter 1, page 1113, in the middle of verse 18, he says this, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Then he turns to them, and in verse 27 he says, "Whatever happens, as citizens of heaven, live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together with one accord for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you." That's enough of a reading, I think, for 5 minutes. I've had two significant experiences this weekend that have made me think about stories and lives. The first one, life-changing event, was filling in my tax return on Friday evening, trying to hit the midnight deadline for filing it online. I made it by 11:15, I would like you to know. But part of that was just looking over my diary for the last tax year and just checking that I'd got all of the expenses and all of the rest of it noted down, and all the money that different churches had given me for preaching for them and that sort of stuff. And it's quite staggering when you look at what you've done in the course of a year. So much has happened that you've forgotten about. And sort of think, was that really this year? Did that really happen then? I can't believe so much happened in one 12-month period. The other thing is it's been my wedding anniversary, and so I thought before I take her out for lunch on Saturday, we'd better get a haircut. So I went to the hairdresser's, and the girl said, as she usually says, "Hello, we don't see you very often. So what special occasion is it this time?" So I told her, and she said, "Wow, 30, I can't imagine what it's like being married for 30 years. I said, "I didn't say 30, I said 38, that's nearly 40. She said, "That is unbelievable. How do you stay married that long?" And I thought, well, you ought to ask my wife that question. But it's true, you know, when you think back on it, so many stories, so much has happened. And the only way you do it is you live it one day at a time, don't you? When you start out, you just don't know how it's going to go. But you take it on, and it's amazing how much God packs into walking through the decades with one person as close to you as that. It's pretty amazing. Not all the stories are good stories, of course. There are times when you stumble and fall. There are times when things go wrong for no reason whatsoever. And we've heard about some of those this morning. The Apostle Paul was in that situation, in prison, his career in tatters, facing potential death, hearing from the Philippians, the guys he was writing to, about how there were dissensions in their church. The great unity they'd had was falling apart. The gospel seemed to have stalled. Growth wasn't going on. It wasn't a great moment. And yet he's able to write and say, listen, God's done fantastic things. He's going to do fantastic things. All of this is going to work out right. Everything that's happening is going to work out for the good of the gospel. Just keep going, he says. Stand firm. Copy my philosophy. To live, well, that's Jesus. To die, well, that's just gain. And sometimes it's important to look back on what's happened and project that into the future. When John Wesley started the Methodist Church nearly 300 years ago now, he realized that to be a Christian is a bit like being married. And he thought it's good for people occasionally to renew their marriage vows. And so for the early Methodists, he put together a special service, which actually he took from the works of somebody called J. Allen. But it was actually Joseph Allain. He spelt it wrong. He was a hymn writer. But anyhow, he was a Methodist. This guy was a Puritan. It didn't make any odds. It was good Christian stuff. And that service that he put together was a way of early Methodists just going over what they'd promised God once again. The first form of the service was very like a wedding. It started off, I take Christ as my head and my husband, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. It was as close to the marriage service as you could get. Over 200 odd years, the service has changed a little bit. But the act of commitment that Methodists make is still an important one. And other churches and denominations have borrowed it. We're going to borrow it just for once this morning. Maybe in the course of time we'll come up with our own, but this time we're going to have a look at it. Now, I don't want you to say anything you haven't seen before, so before we go through it, let me just introduce you to it. Can we just put the thing up on screen? This is how it goes. Is this where I need this thing? Great. I am no longer mine, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you, or laid aside for you, exalted for you, or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours, so be it. And the covenant now made on earth, may it be ratified in heaven. Amen. That is what we're going to be saying together in just a moment. Don't say it, obviously, if you don't mean it. But if you are a member of this church, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and you've heard these stories this morning, you've seen what God is doing, you can't, I think, say any less. It'd be good to recommit ourselves to the work of God in this church, wouldn't it? And think about some of the things we've heard this morning. I think there are three things that come through to me from what I've heard. Number one, we need to expect God to be at work. Sometimes we don't realise how much is going on. And when you look around you, like me with my tax return or 38 years of marriage or whatever, and you see just how much there has been, it is absolutely staggering. And it's easy to say, this church is going nowhere, we're becalmed, we don't have a vision, we're not doing anything. Not true. There is a vision. Sharing the story, living the life, getting it out there, letting other people's lives be changed by exposure to the Word of God, and doing it with one another so that we strengthen and back up one another in home groups, in prayer triplets, in life groups, in all kinds of different ways. Moving as a body of God's people, strengthening one another, supporting one another, all being involved in different ways. Remember the story of Coral, how many people there were involved at different stages doing different stuff. Gurdjieff's mum became a Christian far away from here, but there were people here praying for her too. We're all involved. We're all part of it. One, expect God to be doing big things. Two, expect yourself to be part of it. We've heard this morning about people who never expected God to use them in the way that he did, but he did. Folks have been up here who are not normally preachers, who don't normally stand at the lectern, and yet they've got something to say which is valid and important because they've been there with God and he's worked through them. He wants to work through you too. And the third thing that's come across for me this morning is expect God to do big things. Expect to be part of it. Expect to do it together. You're not on your own, facing your own front line. You're part of a family. And together we can grow this church. We can shake Exeter. We can do things that we've never done before. It's easy to think, oh, I know about Belmont Chapel. It's been there for over 100 years. We know what sort of thing Belmont does. We know the sort of size it is. We know the kind of ministry it performs year by. We've seen nothing yet. We can go places we've never been before. And I believe God wants us to do that. But it all comes down to the basic willingness of each of our hearts to renew our marriage vows and be part of the whole thing. So we're going to finish with a song in a second, Jesus is King. Then we're going to get a cup of coffee. But first, I'm going to invite you just to stand to your feet and say this covenant with me. So if you really mean it, then do join in with me. I am no longer my own but yours. Let's go. I am no longer my own but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing.
put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you, or laid aside for you. Be exalted for you, or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it, and the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.